So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, coincidentally, this year in 2015, coincides on the first high day of Unleavened Bread, the night to be much observed last night. It coincides with the world's Easter Sunday. Today is 4/5/2015, the FUB, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why is this feast called? Maybe the first day of flat hard cakes, the first day of enduring the dry matzos, or the first day of savoring the filling wheat thins. We could give Yahweh a name by calling it the Feast of Spoiling the Egyptians, the Feast of the Liberation of Yahweh's People, Feast of Liberating Yahweh's People, the Feast of Parting the Red Sea, and the Feast of the Mighty Hand of Yahweh. But Yahweh calls it the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Leviticus 23, verses 5 and 6. It tells us the order for Israel to keep the feast. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is Yahweh's Passover. On the 15th day, that's today, 15th of Aviv, on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. The first day you shall have a separated convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh 7 days, and the seventh day is a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. So you have there a passage from Leviticus. Why unleavened bread? It is because it is something that is hard to swallow, or is it because it's something we have to endure? Is it because it's something we have to condition our bodies and psych ourselves up to in order to tolerate? In Exodus 12, and be sure to take some unleavened bread today, by the way, in Exodus 12:39, the Israelites departed hastily from Mitzrayim and did not have time to wait for bread to rise. There's got to be more to unleavened bread than that. To answer this question, I have now for you two more questions. How is unleavened bread used in Scripture, and what lessons can we learn from it? What is unleavened bread? Let's look at some of the uses of unleavened bread, not necessarily the days of, but the bread itself, and see how this helps with a better understanding of keeping the days of unleavened bread or Passover. Bread without leaven. What is bread? Genesis 21:14, 1 Kings 19, Isaiah 30 shows one's physical condition. 1 Kings 22:27. Proverbs, used to describe one's character, one's moral condition. Two basic Hebrew words for leaven. Hebrew root word, hames, H-A-M-E-Z, in Strong's Concordance, and the Hebrew, H-2557. The basic meaning is to have become fermented or sour. It refers to that which the leavening has been added to. Fermentation, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, is any of a group of chemical reactions induced by living or non-living ferments that split complex organic compounds into relatively simple substances. In simple terms, the process in which something rots or decays. In the case of bread, fermentation causes the breakdown of the dough, which produces carbon dioxide and alcohol, which in turn creates little pockets of holes in the dough, which cause the dough to rise. Oh, so there's alcohol involved. A lot of these teetotalers are going to have to give up bread there if they haven't already. I'm just ribbing you a little. And in Strong's 2557, hametz, used in Exodus 12:15, 13:3, and various other places, Leviticus 2, Deuteronomy 16. The basic meaning is to leaven, or more specifically, to the leavening agent. Let's look at the Exodus 12:15, and hope this podcast turns out so that you can hear it. That doesn't look like the volume is very high there. That's about all I can do. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And the first day there shall be a set-apart convocation. That's a gathering together. And in the seventh day there shall be a pure convocation to you. Now that seventh day is coming up on the 21st of Aviv. Or on my common calendar, it should be 4. Hang on. Sorry about that. 4:10, I think. Either 4:10 or 4:11, depending upon how you reckon the new year, the new moon. Whether it's by the dead of the moon, it could be 4:10 then. If it's by the first crescent of the moon, it could be 4:11. Although usually it's spread farther apart than that. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether a stranger or born in the land. So either a Gentile or a Hebraic believer. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. 2 commands at least were given there, probably more, but to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to have a convocation, and to eat the unleavened bread. And the third command there, don't eat any... Oh, excuse me, did I say to eat unleavened bread? That's correct. And thirdly, to not eat any leavened bread. So 3 commands. And it shall be for an ordinance forever. And, alright, so let's move on here then to the summary. Now I can find out whether or not the broadcast turned out okay. Talking about the bread of affliction, Deuteronomy 16. Oh, good. Okay, now I've got some scriptures. So this will be worth it. Praise Yahweh. May He bless this broadcast. And we have an offering to Messiah here on this first day of the bread. Bread of affliction, Deuteronomy 16. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it 7 days. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread therewith. The bread of affliction, for thou came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. A bread of reminder of where we've been, a reminder so we remember, not just during these days, but every day of our life. In 12:18 of Exodus, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Also see Numbers 9:11. Bitter herbs, from where we have come, bitter herbs leave a bitter taste in our mouth. According to the encyclopedia, whereas the prohibition against eating chametz or having it in one's possession applies to the whole of Passover, the positive duty of eating matzah applies only to the first night, according to the Encyclopedia Judaica. And I could refute that. I think it's every day, of course, from the first until the seventh day, we're to eat unleavened bread. In the evening you shall eat matzah. For this reason there is the widespread custom of eating only matzah shemeru on the night of the Seder, although some, as a special act of piety, eat it throughout the festival, according to the encyclopedia. According to the letter, one must abstain from eating matzah on the eve of Passover, from the time of eating of chametz is forbidden, from the 14th of Aviv, but the custom has been adopted of abstaining from eating matzah for the month before Passover, so that's its novelty can be enjoyed, or the beauty actually should be enjoyed. Well, the bread of poverty. Poverty is the state of being poor, without substance, and lowly. The opening statement of the ceremony kept by the Jews, behold the poor bread which our fathers ate in the land of Mitzrayim. Let anyone who is hungry come in and eat. Let anyone who is needy come in and make Passover. Barley ripens first. The omer, the first fruit of the harvest, was reaped. Wheat largely replaced barley as human food, and barley was used mainly as animal fodder. Numbers 5, the reason for the offering of the barley meal and the ordeal of a woman suspected of adultery, that she had behaved like an animal. Yeah, if the accusation was true. Joshua 5:11, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, and parched corn in the selfsame day. It principally became the poor man's food, since the Hebrew proverb, "Why do you eat barley bread?" "Because I have no wheaten bread." And then it lists Numbers 49, Numbers something 49. My screen is too small to, let's see, let me see if I can, no, I can't move it over. Okay, don't worry about my failing to navigate here, but it says somewhere, Numbers something, verse 49. Oh, well. The bread of hospitality, the speed with which matzah could be prepared, identifies it with a bread made in the scripture when there was no time to prepare ordinary bread. Bread that ends separation. Numbers 6 ends the separation of the Nazarite vow. Ephesians chapter 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Yahweh, one faith, one baptism," or one immersion, "one Yah and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Under bread of consecration, it lists Exodus 29, Revelation 1:6, "And he has made us priests and kings unto Yahweh and his Father. Unto Yah and his Father, to him be power and dominion forever and ever." Now I change that word glory to power, or to beauty or splendor, and that's justifiable because these adjectives are also listed in the for that same Hebrew word. These adjectives such as glory, esteem, or splendor is legitimate to use that, and so I'm able to transfer from the corrupt word glory into using splendor. Revelation 5:10, we are reminded of called to be priests to the Almighty Yah. Revelation 5:10, 1:6, and 20, verse 6. The bread of burnt offerings, Leviticus 2, Leviticus 23, 14 to 20, Leviticus 6:14, 7:11, Romans 12:1, we are to be an offering as daily offerings. Leavened bread and offerings were presented alone. These included two loaves of first fruits, the loaves of thanksgiving, and the grain of offering of first fruits. No part of these offerings was placed on the altar. For that reason, they could be made of leavened dough. Hope you're following along here. Not, you don't need to understand all of this. Deuteronomy 16:10, the operative principle was the viewing of the offering by Yahweh, and his seeing it constituted either his acceptance or his actual consumption of it. The offering was placed before him. And don't tie that into pagan sacrifices. They could have derived their sacrifices from these scriptures. Deuteronomy 26:10, the offering was placed before Yahweh. This unleavened bread is the bread of redemption. Luke 22, Messiah's body is the bread. 1 Corinthians 5, Yahushua Messiah is our Passover. His body is our bread of redemption. And also Exodus 13. Prevent leaven from taking root. We are becoming pure sifted flour. Sifted fine so that all the leavening has been removed. Unsifted flour in Hebraic thought. Oh, maybe here's the volume. Sorry, I just found it. Unsifted flour in Hebraic thought is dough, D-O-U-G-H, or that which is unknown. Sifted flour alone could be considered unleavened. The widow of a man who is of doubtful descent was called a dough widow. Dough that was mixed with water would become fermented unless continually kneaded and worked. Ancient authorities set the time for leaven to start to take hold under normal conditions at 18 minutes. We must take note about leaven in our lives. It takes where am I? And I'm reading from an article from GiveShare.org, Scripture Study number 258, Why Unleavened Bread. Dough that was mixed with water. We must take note about leaven in our lives. It takes constant activity to continue to be unleavened, and otherwise the natural process takes over and leaven creeps into our life. James 1 mentions pure and undefiled religion. Some people have a problem with that word religion, huh? Well, James uses it. If Yaakov used it, it's good enough for me. What is pure and undefiled? It is unleavened religion, or if you don't like that word, unleavened relationship. Although a man could have a relationship with a woman of ill repute. So relationship is not necessarily a better word. Unleavened religion, threskia in Greek, Strong's 2356, that's G2356, refers to worship, especially external, to cry aloud, to make a noise by outcry. And 2357, diligent performer of divinely ascribed duties of outward service to Yahweh. Unleavened bread should be that daily reminder of pure, undefiled basic nutritional necessities. We're here at the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the first high day, on the 15th of Aviv today, what we believe to be. Some people believed it was 2 days ago. Some think it's tomorrow, according to their different calendars. So we're not going to get into that. And I wouldn't criticize them anyway. We're all, hopefully, in the attitude of, proper attitude of sincerity and truth, seeking the truth. So, to sum it up, the bread of affliction, a reminder that we know where we have been, that we need to move forward, depending on Yahweh, for direction and basic sustenance. The bread of poverty. Our current physical state is one of poverty, needing the forgiveness we have been offered. Hospitality should be a reminder that we are to serve those that enter our lives, no matter how brief the contact. The bread of consecration, reminding that we have been consecrated as priests, according to Peter and the book of the Revelation and Leviticus. The bread that ends separation, to remind us that we are to change our lives to end our separation from Yahweh. The bread of burnt offerings, a reminder we are to offer ourselves as daily offerings. Romans 12. Bread of redemption, it's a reminder that we are redeemed, that we have been redeemed. And that should be sufficient reminder there. To keep the feast, as Paul says, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And it is a reminder to be continually working, kneading, so leaven does not take hold in our lives. Unleavened bread cries aloud that which is pure and undefiled, the love that serves to continually praise Yahweh. That is why I believe that some of the things that Yahweh thinks of unleavened bread, that he gave this feast to us. And that is not Easter Sunday. He doesn't command us to go outside a church and hide Easter eggs, colored eggs, symbolic of fertility rites. He doesn't tell us to do that. And in fact, he commands us to not do that. Paul says in Galatians 4, you observe, he says to the former Gentiles who were not converted before the time, before they were converted, they kept the pagan feasts. Paul says, you observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you my labor in vain. Galatians chapter 4. Jeremiah 10 says, learn not the way of the heathen. Unleavened bread is our feast day, given to us by Messiah, Yahushua, who kept the Passover, Paul, who kept the Passover, and throughout Scripture, from Genesis to even the book of the Revelation, we find that symbolism there, a reminder to keep Feast of Unleavened Bread and not to invent excuses to not keep the feast, to try to sidestep, ride the fence, or make make silly pretexts to not keep Yahweh's feast days. Ah, yes, we don't do that. That's too bad. Don't want to get into that. Okay, well, the time of this broadcast is probably going to be about 15 to 20 minutes. I'm Stefan Yah. The email address is Stefan Yah with a Zadi. That's T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H. T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H. Like Stefan. Stefan Yah. Yah is the Father's name is in our names, like Sylvia. And, okay, that's the email, and then the website is yahvahyahweh.name. Oh, wait, so that's StephanYah at yahvahyahweh.name. And we'll talk to you again soon from the feast day of Unleavened Bread, Pesach. We wish you many blessings, and that Yahweh, the Messiah, Yahushua, the Messiah, actually, the Son of Yah, will remove the leaven from your lives and help you. You know, it's impossible for us to root out every root of bitterness and malice and wickedness. You know, we're always digging down and trying to find what our sin is and what we should repent of, and sometimes we struggle with repenting. Just as we are physically looking for leaven, to locate some leaven in the products or in the cracks of our house somewhere, and it's almost impossible to get rid of it all if it's down in the cracks, in the car seat, in the console there or something. It's just impossible to get out. So it is. It's impossible to get all the sin out of our life. So, Yahweh, through the Messiah, and through the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit, gets that leaven out of our lives. Right? Halal Yahweh? Oh, that's true. He is rooting out every root of bitterness. He is bringing us into perfect fellowship with Him. And we are walking in His commandments, statutes, and judgments. And keeping His feasts, keeping His commandments, loving Him. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Yes. Not just do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, but all His commandments, statutes, and judgments. That these will help us to be reminded of the offering that Messiah made for us on the tree at Calvary. And to change the word there from cross to tree to on the tree at Calvary. And also that we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the resurrection. The resurrection day will be on the 17th of Aviv. And as I see it, that's in Roman terms on the calendar, that's 4/6/2015 should be Aviv 17, 3 nights and 3 days after Messiah was on the tree at Calvary, put into the grave, and they rolled the stone and sealed the tomb, and then Messiah was resurrected 3 nights and 3 days later, just before sunset, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Matthew 28, verse 1. Thank you. And may Yahweh bless this broadcast and also all of the mechanical parts here. May we be able to cope with that too and get the message out to you. So shalom. Hallel Yahweh. Praise unto Yahweh.